Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate, therefore, went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." And let's read verse 5 together. Ready? Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." I'll read yet one other verse to you. You need not turn there. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 12 reads, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, many churches would love to see happen in a year what we get to see around here in one service. Where many Christians saw today what few Christians ever get to see their whole life. Your power and your spirit moving mightily in this place. Father, please, may we not take it for granted. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. And change our hearts and our minds, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
A moment ago, we read the story, or a portion of it. It was a story taking place right before Jesus Christ was hung on a cross. The Bible says that Pilate had taken Jesus captive and then had him beaten. There were some soldiers around. They had been mocking Jesus because Jesus had claimed and had been called the King of the Jews. A soldier made a crown of thorns, and they placed that crown of thorns upon the brow of Jesus Christ. When that happened, it was a mocking thing. They placed that crown on his brow and on his head to mock him about being a king. We notice in verse number 2 it says, "And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns." There's a crown there. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "Then came Jesus wearing the crown of thorns." This was not a crown of gold. This was not a crown made of silver. There were no diamonds in this crown. There were no emeralds, sapphires, no jewels. This crown was to mock him. But little did they know, there would be a day when they would bow before him with the crown that would be worn by the King of Kings. Because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 12, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns." Many crowns. This time, they're made of gold. This time, they're made of silver. This time, they're jewels and diamonds and sapphires and emeralds, the purest of gold anywhere in the universe. Oh, they did not know. They mocked and they said, "Well, we'll put a crown of thorns on his head. We'll mock him. We'll belittle him. We'll make him little." Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Can you imagine when the day comes that the very people that structured that crown of thorns see him in heaven bowing at his feet with many crowns upon his head? Oh, won't they be embarrassed? Won't they realize that they were virtually prophets, not realizing what they were doing? He doesn't say that in heaven one day he'll have one crown upon his head. It says he'll have many crowns upon his head. They mock him with a crown of thorns in John 19, and they bow before him with a crown in Revelation 19. There's a song in our songbook. It's called Crown Him with Many Crowns. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns out all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king throughout all eternity. Crown him with many crowns. The crowns. We use crowns a lot in our society. Of course, they're used in what we might say an elite fashion. Where's Brother Bob? Brother Bob Jones. Is it the Triple Crown race? Isn't that a horse race? There's a horse race called the Triple Crown. We crown Miss America. We crown a king and a queen. And you take many Christian schools. We'll have a homecoming and maybe a basketball game. And they'll crown a queen and her court. We crown kings of countries and queens of country, like the Queen of England. They crown bodybuilders. You say, oh yeah, those guys are hunks and you're stuck with a chunk. I'm sorry, but they crown them. Mr. Universe is crowned. Then there is the crown from Burger King. I mean, crowns are far more popular than what you think. They're everywhere. There are some sermons that I remember from my youth that were preached to me that somehow stuck with me. I remember when I was a teenage boy, my pastor standing up and preaching a sermon about the crowns that are available to Christians. I thought about it over and over and over again. Many times I said to myself, someday I'm going to preach on that. But it's kind of a teaching that's just always been in my heart. And I thought about it from time to time. Tonight I want to talk to you about this, crowning him with many crowns. I think there are probably, from the best of my knowledge, and I may be off on this, I think there are 6 different crowns that you can get. Someone might say 5, someone might say 7. The number is irrelevant. The teaching is of urgency. There are some crowns, though, that we can receive as Christians. For instance, I think that there's a good chance that there is a crown that will be given to us in heaven if anybody that's saved. And of course, anybody that's going to be in heaven will be saved. Now, not the angels. But understand something. The angels are not redeemed. So the angels do not have all the privileges that you have. But more than likely, everybody in heaven will have a crown because of their salvation. Revelation 4:4 says, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. I think everybody here that's born again, when you get to heaven, I think that you will be given a crown. Brother Brett, I'm going to use this cordless mic some. That means this. If you do nothing else for God in your life, you'll get a crown when you get to heaven. You say, what for? Being saved. Brother Bush, I'm going to give you this crown, and I want you to wear that for me. Now, your crown represents salvation. And so he has a crown representing the fact that he received Jesus Christ as Savior. And I think that you'll get one of those. I think every time somebody gets saved, I think God turns to his heavenly jeweler and says, get another crown ready. We're going to need another crown. The Bible says that they throw a party in heaven every time somebody gets saved. But if it is true that every saved person will have a crown in heaven, they've got to be manufactured. And I think maybe as a part of that party that they throw in heaven, when somebody gets saved, probably the heavenly jeweler, the craftsman, is called upon. And Jesus said, craftsman, come here. Build me another crown. Make me another crown of gold for somebody that's been saved. You know something? The craftsman was busy from this morning's service. There were 11 people this morning in our church service that received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Some of those are back tonight. to those of you that got saved this morning, I've got good news for you. Jesus is preparing some heavy-duty jewelry for you, and He's got a craftsman in heaven that started on a crown that you'll be given when you get to heaven. Hey, you say, why? Well, when you got saved, you became a child of a king. You are now royalty, not by your own doing. It is by the blood that you were born into this family, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, you are now a part of the royal family. And when you get to heaven, I believe God will have a crown for you. And so there is the crown of salvation. And Brother Bush, you have the crown of salvation on. Secondly, I think the Bible teaches there is a crown given for those that give their all or do their best. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the masteries is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." You see, here the Bible says some physically run in a race to win a prize or a crown. But their crown will rust away because it will be a crown that you can't take back to heaven. So they physically receive the crown. But it goes on to say, it says, "But we an incorruptible crown." So the saved, we run and we give our best in the race of the Christian life to obtain an incorruptible crown. That means a crown that does not rot away. So that means this. If that teaching is what I think it is, God is saying you could receive a crown in heaven because you give your all to serving God with your life. Hey, give your best, Christian. Give your best. I'm going to give you, Brother Doss, here's a crown. You could get in heaven a crown for giving your best and doing your best. Hey, give your all, Christian. Here's something I like about that. You know something, Brother Bajan? My all and your all are different. Brother Young, my all and your all are different. Brother Walter, my all and your all is different. Brother Chuck, man, how you doing? I seen him at Ryan's this afternoon. You talk about a guy can eat. Woo! No doubt, his all and my all were different when it came to eating this afternoon. They got a little red light back in the kitchen that was going off, and they were calling the waitresses back saying, "Call that guy off, man. See that guy eating back there?" Brother Chuck, your all and my all are different. Listen, we're not competing to see who can give the most. We're to give our all, which means this. Hey, teenager, you can get a crown for giving your best. You say, "Oh, well, Brother Owens, I can't give everything." Our youth pastor, Brother Joshua Owens, can give. God's not asking you to give what Joshua Owens can give. God's not asking you to give what John Doss can give. God's not asking you to give what Melissa Logue can give. God's not asking you to give what Mrs. Young can give. God's asking you to give your all. You are striving. Look, there's not one crown given in heaven for one person that gives their all. There are enough crowns that every born-again Christian can get a crown for giving their all. Boy, do I like that. I'm glad that I don't have to compete against D.L. Moody. I'm glad that I don't have to compete against J. Frank Norris or Jack Hiles or Lee Robertson or Tom Malone. I'm glad I don't have to compete against those people. Hey, Jeff Owens is just to give Jeff Owens his best. And what can I get out of it? A crown. A crown for running the race and giving my all. You say, Brother Owens, I was thinking of Brother Bill Stanley's Sunday school class, the Golden Years class. Most who are senior citizens. And I think of how they had a bang-up day in their class today. And some of those people might say, "Brother Owens, I can't give what the people from Brother Joe Cowling's young couples class can give. I don't have the energy." Hey, listen to me, senior citizen. You don't have to give what the young couples give. You have to give what you have to give. That's all you have to give. That's all you have to give. They're crowns. You have a crown of salvation. You have a crown of giving your all or giving your best. I think there's another crown. I think there is a crown for winning people to Jesus Christ, a soul winner's crown. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "For what is our hope? or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? For ye are our glory. Here's what's happening here. Paul says to his converts in Thessalonica, you are my crowns. The people that I have won to Christ, basically Paul is saying, you help me to earn a crown. I believe that when we get to heaven, soul winners are going to be rewarded for their soul winning. And I believe they will be crowned for bringing others to the Savior. Brother Nash, I'm going to have you wear this crown. This is the soul winner's crown. When you get to heaven, you will have a chance. Hey, anybody that's there, you're going to get a crown for just being saved. Hey, if you're there and you give your all, God may have a crown for you. And that crown is for all the energy and the effort because you gave your best. When you get to heaven, you have a chance to get a crown for winning others to Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful opportunity. Hey, soul winner, keep it up now. Soul winners are royalty. I was thinking, I got a surprise letter in the mail, actually through my email this week. It was a letter from a young lady. She's married to a doctor, and they live down south. And I remember back when that young lady was probably about 19 years old, and one day I opened my Bible. I showed that young lady that everyone is a sinner. I showed her there's a price on sin. I showed her that Jesus paid that price with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I showed her that if she'd pray and ask Jesus to come into her heart and save her and ask Him to forgive her of her sins, that He would, and she could go to heaven someday when she died. I remember when she bowed her head. I remember when she prayed. I remember when she got born again. Been many, many years ago now. She married a doctor. Recently, she wrote, boy, did it warm my heart. And she reminded me of our friendship. And then she said, we just feel like maybe God wants us to move to Martinsburg, West Virginia. And my husband would probably move there and set up business and keep shop there. And we'd like to rear our kids in the church. Oh, how it warmed my heart. I felt like I had been crowned. I felt like, what an opportunity. You know something? You could get a crown. I think the Apostle Paul is teaching us, and I think there are other places in the Bible where God says there will be rewards for those who win people to Jesus Christ. So we have a crown. The crown of salvation. We have the crown of giving our all. We have a crown for soul winners. I don't know how it'll happen. I do know this. I know when we get to heaven, we're going to be rewarded. The Bible teaches reward. The Bible talks about reward. And when we get there, it's probably going to be somewhat in the form of these crowns. Hey, I've got some really good news for you. Did you know you can get more than one? You know what? Brother Bush has on here the crown of salvation. But Brother Bush, if you will give your all like Brother Doss, you can get another crown. But wait, Brother Bush, if you would give your all and be a soul winner, which is a part of giving your all, you can get another crown. You could have the crown of salvation. You could have the crown of giving your all. You could have the crown of being a soul winner. You see, God rewards us, and the Bible talks about these crowns being made available to us. Hey, there's another crown the Bible teaches. I call it the crown of an anticipator. You say, anticipating what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. You see, God said, there's going to be a crown given out for those that love His appearing, that anticipate His coming again. I believe that God has a crown for those that look to the eastern sky saying, it could be tonight. It could be tonight. He may come back this very night. It could be today. You say, I know somebody that's saying that all the time. Yeah, they're getting them a crown. They're getting them a crown. They're remembering the promise of Jesus when he said, I will come again. They're remembering that Jesus said, I am not leaving forever. I'm coming back in one of these days. He's going to bust through the clouds on a white horse. You're going to hear the trump of God, and he's going to say, come up hither, and we're getting out of here. And the Bible says there is a crown for those that anticipate and that desire his coming. Let me give one of these. We have a crown here, Brother Young. You put on the crown of a second coming. Brother Bush wears the crown of salvation. Brother Doss wears the crown of giving his best. Brother Nash wears the crown of being effeminate. Brother Nash wears the crown of the soul winner. And Brother Young wears the crown of the second coming. Oh, this thing of Jesus coming again. Hey, listen, we ought to look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And I think if I read it right, listen to this. I was studying this verse this afternoon. It says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. That means the day Jesus comes back, that day, he's going to say to everybody that in their heart just desired for him to come back. And we're constantly looking. Now, we know he's going to come like a thief in the night. But there are some who just desire it and want it and long for it and love it. And they're often watching. God said, on that day. That means this. The rapture's going to come. We're going to get snatched out of here. And when we get to heaven, I think Jesus is going to say, all right, everybody that's on this list, when I call your name, come on over here to me. And he's going to go through the list of all those that love his appearing, and he's going to say, angels, bring me the crowns. I have a special crown for those that loved my appearing. I'm not talking about all those whiny babies that say, I'll get out of here, I can't take it anymore. Well, you're supposed to have victory down here, just so you know. You shouldn't be a whiny baby. There are lost people out there. They have something to whine about. You have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Bible. You have heaven as your future. So, I'm not talking about the whiny babies that just mope around. I gotta get out of here. I'd kill myself if I could, but I'm afraid to. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the people that say, I can't wait to be with Jesus. It's not a matter of the absence of the negative. It is a matter of the presence of the positive. And there's nothing more positive than Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the people that say, I can't wait to be with him. I can't wait. Hey, won't it be something? Won't it be something when morning time rolls around, which will be no night when we get there, but won't it be something when you can go to have devotions with him instead of just trying to figure out how to communicate with him? I mean, you have a time with him in his presence. What a wonderful time that will be. And I believe that there's a crown. I remember when our children were very little, I'd be off at work at the church, and Mrs. Owens did such a fabulous job with our kids. I can remember time after time after time, I would pull in the driveway. You could see four little heads lined up at the big picture window at the front of the house. The kids looking out the window. Curtains being ruffled. Boy, I'd open the car door. Then you see them. They come running out the door. Daddy! 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 Come running at me! Daddy! Usually say, you got any money? No. Daddy! Daddy! You know something? Mrs. Owens had taught the children, Daddy's coming home. Mrs. Owens had taught the children, it's a glorious thing when Daddy comes home. When Daddy comes home, it's going to be all right. You're going to be with Daddy. And those four little ones born of Mrs. Owens and I would watch, and they would burst through the door to come to us. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. Your heavenly Daddy's coming home someday. Get at the curtain. Pull the curtain back. Stand on your tippy toes. Be watching for Daddy. And just look for Daddy. And the day's coming when Daddy's coming, not in a car, but on a white horse.
and he's going to get us out of this mess. And God said, those of you that stand on your tippy toes at the kitchen or in the living room just watching for Jesus to come, he said, I'm going to reward you. I'll give you a crown. The Bible teaches us there is a crown for salvation. There is a crown for the giving of our best. There is a crown for soul winning. There is a crown for those that long for His second coming. Then I believe there is a crown, the Bible teaches, for the faithful ones. James chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, there are many wonderful benefits for being faithful. Just by being faithful, all the things that you learn to do is a wonderful reward. Hey, just by being faithful, all the things that you learn not to do is a wonderful reward. But I believe in addition to what faithfulness produces, there is a reward that is a crown that is a reward. Here the Bible uses in James 1:12 the word endureth. It means remaining faithful through thick and thin. Let's see, where's Brother Lester Brining? Brother Brining, and that guy has been in this church 60 years. I got a hunch his crown is all polished up in heaven. For what? Long-term faithfulness. Enduring faithfulness. See, it says there enduring temptation. You say, isn't that talk about turn away sin? No, it's talking about enduring the temptation to quit. The temptation to throw in the towel. The temptation to just quit on God. The Bible says that God has a crown for those that will just be faithful. Hey, you know what? Not everybody here can have the biggest Sunday school class in the church, but everybody here can be faithful. Not everybody here can have the biggest bus route in the church, but everybody can be faithful. Not everybody here can go out and conquer a land, but everybody can be faithful. And not everybody here can give $1 million to the church, but I wish you could. But everybody can be faithful with their tithe. Not everybody here can stand and preach a dynamic sermon in a pulpit, but everybody here can be faithful. Be faithful. Sometimes we get this idea that you've got to have all these dynamics and you've got to be superior and you've got to be better than everybody else to get what God has for you. No, God just wants your best. God wants you to get saved. Give your best. Win who you can to Jesus Christ. God wants you to look for His coming. Look, you don't have to be real bright to look to the second coming of Jesus Christ. God wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful. Why? Because there is a crown for those who endure and are faithful. Brother Bajan, if you'll put that crown on. Hey, and don't forget. You know what, Brother Doss? If you'll do right, you not only can have that crown, a crown of salvation, if you'll be faithful, you can get you another crown. You're not limited to one. What is available to one in almost every case is available to all. Brother Young, you don't have to just have that one crown. Brother Bajan, you don't have to have just one crown. You have the opportunity to have more than one crown. The crown for the faithful ones. Not everybody can do what somebody else can do, but everybody can do what they're to do. Faithfulness is the key to the Christian life. If you'll be faithful, you will in time learn how to do everything God wants you to do. One of the biggest hindrances to you fulfilling the will of God is you're not being faithful. Look, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. You've got to have all the pieces. And if you're not faithful to God, you won't get all the pieces, so you'll never get your puzzle put together. God wants you to finish the race. He wants you to finish the course. And you do that by being faithful. Where's Mrs. Duke? Mrs. Duke, how many years have you been working in the nursery? 23 years. I can spend 23 minutes in the nursery and I'm ready to become an alcoholic. My son Joshua, our granddaughter Alexandra, as you know, was born at the beginning of the week and she'd been in intensive care. And it was a couple of days before my daughter Corey even got to hold her. And I remember that days had passed and they finally took Alexandra out of a little bubble and she's got tubes in her and got monitors on her and everything. But I remember my son Joshua, he was in there and the baby needed changed. He'd never changed a baby in his life. He never even practiced on a baby doll or even a cat. And the nurse said, "You want to change her?" Being the valiant dad that he was, he said, "Sure." Well, she gave him the experience of a lifetime. Because things started happening everywhere. I will not go into it any further than that, but what an experience for him for the first time around. And then he came out and he said, "All right, I changed my turn, the rest of them are yours." And I think he meant from here on out. But you want to know something? We, you and I, every last one of us, well, I wonder why I told that story just now. Oh, that's it. Mrs. Duke, thank you, Brother Nash. I am just shocked to death you even pay attention. Mrs. Duke, 23 years in that nursery. I was at the hospital this week and visiting with Bernice Shiflett, and she had some heart struggles, and they did a little operation, you might say, to help her get well. I was there in the room with Mrs. Shiflett, and she said to me, I asked her, I said, "How you feeling?" She said, "I'm feeling better." She said, "But I want to feel good enough that I can get back in the nursery and help." Boy, I love that. I love that. She's even been practicing changing diapers on Ronnie. For those of you that don't know, Ronnie is her grown son. He's about 60. No, he's not that old. Faithfulness. 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 I believe there is a crown. Brother Bajent, you have on your head the crown of faithfulness. Brother Young, you have on your head the crown of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Brother Nash, you have on your head the crown of the soul winner. Brother Doss, you have on your head the crown of one that gives his all for the cause of Christ. Brother Bush, you have on your head the crown of salvation. And you can have more than one of these crowns. There's another crown. It is not everybody's privilege of having this crown. But I would be amiss if I did not mention it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4, it says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory." That's verse number 4. And verse number 1, it is talking about the elders or the pastors of the church. The Bible teaches that God has a crown that He gives to pastors. I was thinking of Dr. Smith. I'm so pleased that you're here this evening, Dr. Smith. It was in my outline when I prepared this, and your presence tonight is just right. There's a man that when he gets to heaven will receive a crown. I wouldn't be shocked that Mrs. Smith gets a queen's crown when we get up there too. You see, there's a crown for 35 years of pastoring the same church. There's a crown for him. I was thinking of my daddy. My daddy started a church in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and has pastored that church, I'm going to guess, honey, 25 years, 24 years now. The dad's church is not the biggest church in the state of Kentucky. But I'll just tell you this. He's been faithful to the old black book. And he'll get in the same line that D.L. Moody will be in. The same line of a J. Frank Norris, because dad will get a crown, not because of the size of his church, but because it was a church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. No, sorry. Man, that was right there. Dad's crown won't be based on the size of his church. Dad's crown will not be based on how many acres or how big the buildings. Dad's church will be based on the fact that God called him to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and he went there and he started the Trinity Baptist Church, and he started a church in the basement of an old warehouse, and he stayed and he preached the Bible and he got people saved. One of these days he'll stand up and he'll receive a crown. I'll be preaching in September up in Pennsylvania for a man who's been pastoring over 25 years the same church in a town of 50 people. I'm telling you, I am so honored when I'm in his presence. That takes guts. That takes determination. That takes a man that knows he's called to a place. He runs 100. that may be per capita the biggest church in the world. Think about it. A town of 50, a guy running 100, that ain't bad. He'll get a crown. His crown will be like all the other pastors' crowns. Because I don't see anywhere in the Scripture where it talks about the size. It talks about the calling and the position of being a man of God. Oh, but I've got some news I need to share with you. These crowns, I think you can lose some of them. I don't know exactly all about it. I just know this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Here the Bible says that we can actually suffer loss of some of our rewards. It may be our crowns. Now, that's bad news. Here's the good news. But you can't lose your salvation. That's good news. You're keeping that crown. You're not going to lose the crown of salvation. It goes on and says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What's that mean? Once you're saved, you're always saved. Hey, you're saved and you have everlasting life. You're saved and you have eternal life. You didn't save yourself and you don't keep yourself. The keeper is Jesus Christ, and he gave you a crown. It's a crown of salvation, and it is yours. Now, some crowns could possibly be lost, but never your crown of salvation. That's yours. That's yours. When you enter heaven, that is yours. That's a for sure one. And it may be, just a little theology, it may be that you cannot lose this crown here either. The soul winner's crown. You say, why? Because everybody you won to Christ has eternal salvation too. I mean, if this soul winner got a crown for winning someone, how long is that person they won saved? Forever. You probably got a pretty good chance of keeping that crown right there. Now, here's the best part about the whole thing. See, this crown thing, it's almost vain. Go get crowns. Oh, this is only the start of the story. You get saved, you get a crown. And you give your best, you can get a crown. And you win people to Christ, and you can get a crown. And you look forward to the second coming of Christ, you can get a crown. And if you will, yeah, if you'll be faithful, you can get a crown. And if you have the privilege of being called of God as a preacher, an elder, and a pastor, you can get a crown. But listen to this, Revelation chapter 4, verse number 10 and 11, it says, the four and the 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let me tell you why you need to store up a whole bunch of crowns, because one of these days we're going to get to heaven, and Jesus is going to be set at his throne, and he's going to say, you may approach, and everybody's going to cast their crowns at his feet. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Ramsey, come out here for a second. You're going to be Jesus. Sit down there, if you will. Brother Ramsey is Jesus Christ. We may get to heaven. We may get some crowns. We may get some rewards. But let me tell you, those rewards are not all about us. They're not all about us. When you get to heaven and you see how marvelous it is. You say, well, Brother Owens, wonder if I want to keep them. You won't want to. Brother Owens, wonder if when I get there, I want them to be mine and I work for them. Don't worry. You won't feel that way. You say, well, what makes you so sure? Because of the glory and the majesty and the power and the holiness of God. I'll guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you're going to say, I don't care about these golden streets and the gates of pearl. I don't care about all that. I know where I want to be. I know who I want to see. I know who I want to be around. The treasures of the world mean nothing to me. I want to approach the Savior, and you'll be ready to cast cast all your jewels and cast all your rewards at His feet, because He's the one that made it all possible. You're going to get there and say, I cannot believe this is so marvelous and so wonder. The half cannot be fancied. Beside the golden shore, hey, it's going to be fantastic, and let me show you what's going to happen. Brother Bush, when you get to heaven, you're going to approach the Savior. You're going to fall on your knees, and you're going to cast the crowns at His feet. And Brother Doss, you're going to get to heaven, and you're going to cast the crowns at His feet. And Brother Nash, when you get to heaven, you're going to approach Jesus and cast the crowns at His feet. And Brother Young, you're going to get to heaven, and you're going to cast the crowns at His feet. And Brother Bajan, when you get to heaven, you're going to cast the crowns at His feet. And as a man of God, when I get to heaven, I'll take my crown off. I'm going to crawl to Him. I want to fall prostrate at His feet. I want to give Him the crown. And then the Bible says He's going to put them on. He's going to put them on. Because it says there, if you remember correctly, put all those on that you can, Brother Ramsey. The Bible says in Revelation 19:12, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. Many crowns. Not just one. Not just one crown. Many crowns. Where did He get all the crowns? He got them from us. How did He get them from us? We served Him. And everything you do down here, you do it because Jesus Christ saved you. He enabled you. He strengthened you. He gives you a crown. You fall at His feet and you give it to Him. And that's what glory will be like. Oh boy, the crowns. The crowns. You'll want to give Him your crowns. Now right now, you know how we are. I'll get some stuff for myself. Yeah! Hey listen, all those men who are out there last couple of days, sweating, working hard, putting blisters on their hands, building a playground for a bunch of children that we love dearly. So I didn't get the award I thought I should have. You'll get a crown. Amen. You'll get a crown. And we'll all bow at His feet. And we'll cast the crowns at His feet. And you're gonna look at Him one day and say, look at all those crowns. There won't be just one crown. There'll be many. Now I want to recommend to you that you do this. Get as many crowns as you can. You say, why, Brother Owens? The more crowns you have, the more time you'll spend with Him while you give them to Him. I mean, if you've just got the one of salvation, that's great. You'll give that to Him. But wonder if you had a bunch. Wonder if I had 10 or 12. I could say, this is great. I mean, that last guy was only here for a couple seconds giving his one crown. I got all these crowns. I get to be with Him. But I get to give Him crown after crown. And He is worthy. He is worthy. Thank you, man. Thank you, Brother Ramsey. If you're not saved, you got to get you a crown tonight. You got to get you a crown. Get born again. Get saved. Hey, if you're saved, don't you think it's about time you started giving your all? I don't know. I'm not exactly sure all that will take place in heaven. I don't think there's going to be pain there. Some would say there may be tears, there may not be. I don't know. When we get there, we're going to figure some of those things out. But I can tell you this. Somehow, it may be that when we get there, we will notice that some have one, and others have two and three crowns. So would there be any remorse because of it? I can't tell you that. But I'm going to expect when we get to heaven, we can still count. And I think we ought to do all we can. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're saved, give your all. Get people saved. Let's keep our eyes on the eastern sky, believing that Jesus is coming back, not just to get us out of this mess, but because we want to be with Him. Let's be faithful and endure. And to every man that's been called of God that listens to this sermon on CD or tape, every man under the sound of my voice, let's wear the crown of being a pastor or a preacher proudly, but remember that the pride will conclude as we fall at His feet and thank Him for the honor of standing in his stead as a pastor, an under-shepherd of his church, leading his people and being filled with his Spirit. Crown him with many crowns. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.